Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
Well, we wanted to bring you the latest on and the update from the Russia-Ukraine war. Dr. Charles Sinkale, international relations consultant. Good morning. Thanks for joining us. How are you doing?
Good morning. Thank you very much, and good morning to your listeners.
What is the latest now coming out of the region?
Well, it is quite difficult now to check what is the latest, but at least now that we do understand what is happening, and earlier we did not understand, especially with the misinformation and fake news which has been going around in the media. But what we know from our side is that actually the war is against Russia and the Western powers, including the United States of America, and they're using Ukraine as a platform. As always, people have mentioned that when the elephants are fighting, grass always suffers. So we can see as well from the point of the United Nations Security Council, taking up a biased text, to vote to ask the member states to vote against the reprimand of Russia rather than taking a neutral point to summon the two heads of state and discuss a diplomatic seize of conflict within the region. As well, we heard how the International Criminal Court are proceeding to investigate what is happening. And, it is quite interesting to hear also that there's different views from the United Nations Security Council and the General Assembly, that 25% of the member states voted against or abstained against the motion.
What does that really mean, though? You know, it's all very well to say, well, this is really a war against here and there, and it's about politics and it's about all sorts of other things. But in the meantime, there are people on the ground, as you say, when elephants fight, the grass gets destroyed. People there are being destroyed. They're losing their lives, and they're losing everything that they've had. Surely we should be putting everything aside, placing pressure on the people who are doing the attacking, the aggressor, saying stop this, and after that you can sort out anything else. But the way in which we almost remove the humanity from the discussion around it, doesn't that really defeat the purpose?
Yeah, look, it depends which side one is looking at it, and definitely I agree with you with the point what you're saying. But a complete understanding of international law, the complete understanding of geopolitics, the complete understanding of social and economic politics, and as well as a complete understanding of misinformation, one has to give a very straight view on what is happening. We can see how economically nations, not only within that region, but South Africa as well, seen the hike of fuel and many others. So this effect has got a ripple effect in going forward, and we hope that the supply of military escalation in Ukraine can be reduced by the United Nations Security Council requesting the EU and NATO, and as well as the United States, to withdraw their aid support to Ukraine. In the last 8 months, we've been shocked to hear that the United States of America, they have supplied $1.2 billion. Aid in terms of military to Ukraine, and it is also mentioned that that aid is not going there for free. These military equipment and bombs, they're going to invoice at the end of the day. So there's so many beneficiaries in terms of looking at this conflict.
There was an attempt by Naftali Bennett, Israel's prime minister, over the weekend. He flew to Moscow, then he flew to Germany. He's had some conversations with the Ukrainian president. What was interesting was that he made the comment that Putin seems to be in sound mind, which I think, I'm not sure if that's a good thing or a bad thing, but either way, there wasn't much positive coming out of that. What do you think is the best way for countries to start dealing with this at the moment?
Yeah, look, as we have likely seen that the United Nations, almost 60% of its funding comes from the United States, close to $400 million every year to support. You know, one suggested as well that there is also influence of trying to the United Nations body itself trying to side more of the United States dream, which is the American dream, rather than the collectiveness of the nations who are member states. And like I mentioned, you know, the split in the understanding the conflict in Ukraine, the 25% who either abstained or did not vote for the motion, give that analogy that indeed the United Nations is not neutral at this point. And the call for other nations, such as Israel, even though Israel has got its own conflict, but I'm sure some talks has been going on there between Israel and the other, even other nations, between the President Zelensky and the President Putin, you know, in terms of trying to confer them to a point where they can mutually understand that, look, you're not fighting together, but there's other third parties involved into this conflict. What are they benefiting? And you're just a pawn into this conflict. And we can see as well China did not vote as well on the United Nations Security Council. It's not only that we are siding with Russia, their neighbor, but, you know, they're taking up a neutral stance. They are aware of the trade wars between China and the United States, which we had regarding the Cold War last year. And, you know, they really know who's the aggressor and, you know, who's the spreading lies. And this morning I mentioned to another platform that, look, if you have to talk about Russia withdrawing from there, I think NATO, EU and United States of America must withdraw first, because Russia did not come to South Africa, Russia did not go to Egypt, Russia did not go to United States, or Russia did not go to United Kingdom. Russia is within their territory and they're trying to protect that territory, even if they have to overlay themselves. So Russia came second in Ukraine, but this military escalation came as early as 2014.
Why is neutrality valued? I'm not following that part of it. Surely when people are suffering, neutrality isn't... First, I mean, I have two parts to that question. Neutrality, I can't imagine, is something that we should be you know, valuing at a time when we need to stand and to try and save lives, number one. And number two, perceived neutrality isn't neutrality either. South Africa being neutral and abstaining, China abstaining, is not neutral. It's a very, very clear indication as to which side they stand. So it might have a perception of neutrality, but it certainly isn't neutral.
No, but what do you mean the... not neutral when South Africa abstains or China abstains?
Well, when South Africa abstains, it's not abstaining in a neutral position. I mean, it can claim neutrality, but in fact, South Africa is making it very, very clear that it's not concerned about what is really going on in terms of Ukraine. We keep talking neutrality, but when one country invades another country and we stand up and we say we're neutral, what we're doing is we're accepting the invasion, and we're accepting the new position, the new status, which is a country attacking another. So they neutral, properly neutral, is if two countries are arguing over something, but it's not a state of war. When a war, when one country attacks another and you say, well, I'm neutral to this, it really means that you've sided with the aggressor, the aggressor.
No, not at all. You know, it is the media, who are trying to pursue that story.
It's actually not me, the media. It's me as a moral human being, really. I certainly don't represent media. I represent my own feelings on this.
No, I do understand and I do respect that. Mm. But my view is that, you know, when you read an article from one media station that Russia has invaded Ukraine, you know, you spread that media without having the understanding of international law, without understanding the geopolitics, without understanding the social and economical politics which has been moving around the world. it is not an invasion as the way United States of America, who came to announce and threaten Ukraine that you need to buy military equipment from us because Russia is going to attack you on Wednesday. You know, that's the story they brought in. But it is not the truth. You know, America has been on the hem of lies. And the media are perpetrating that lie.
I would suggest that.
Let me finish the point of neutrality of South African stand. So if South Africa sided with Ukraine, that is not being neutral. If South Africa sided with Russia, that is not being neutral. Abstaining from voting either with the Russia idea or Ukraine idea is a neutral position where they say, I'm not going to vote. I don't know whom to support. So that's the position of South Africa at this stage. And I think it's a very, very good position, especially the relationship it has with the world, with the West, and with Russia, and as well as Ukraine. You know, so people should not force South Africa to take sides. You know, you and I, the media, we do not know why those conflicts are being escalated in that area. But what we know is that Russia is fighting within its territory.
I think the people of Ukraine might strongly disagree with that Russia is fighting with its territory, the people that have certainly lost their lives and are fleeing. We do unfortunately need to leave it there. Dr. Charles Sinkala, international relations consultant, talking to us about the Russia-Ukraine war, and a very, very interesting but very different perspective.